Got to remember to turn on your mic. What a morning. It's been great to be together already as God's people, and we're certainly reminded that Easter is good news. He is risen.
He is risen.
Jesus' resurrection is a wonderfully good ending to a seemingly tragic death. Jesus is alive, and therefore sin and death do not have the last word. Forgiveness, freedom, abundant life, eternal life are offered to those who will by faith accept Jesus as their personal Savior and Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to let Jeff finish that up there. Here we go. Better sight lines. Most of us prefer a good ending to a story. An ending where there is resolve, relationships are made right, justice served, good triumphing over evil. Everyone lives happily ever after. Our desire for good endings leaves us somewhat unsettled over the conclusion to Mark's gospel story. Listen to these first verses of Mark chapter 16, and it's really these verse 8 that ends Mark's story. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Mark's rather abrupt ending in verse 8, with the women bewildered and fleeing in fear, failing to carry the good news, leaves us frustrated. It's no wonder that later scribes added to the ending of Mark's gospel, including the resurrection appearances, the Great Commission, and the ascension, as well as a comment on the disciples' obedience to Jesus' command. The failure of the disciples, men and women, is followed by faithfulness. We know that. While the longer ending of Mark may help us feel more comfortable with a happy ending to his gospel, it does not do justice to the purpose that Mark had in ending his gospel as he does at verse 8. Scholars tell us that all of the earliest manuscripts and the best manuscripts conclude Mark's gospel at verse 8. It's not that Mark is unaware of the fact that eventually the disciples and the women overcame their fear and reported the good news. He is, after all, writing the gospel story. So let's consider just for a few moments what Mark is emphasizing as he concludes his gospel. We're told that following the Sabbath, on the first day of the week, Mark tells us that Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, come to Jesus' tomb and honor him by anointing his body. They remain faithful right to the end. From a distance, they had watched the horror of crucifixion. And then Mark is careful to inform us that they noted the location of the tomb where Jesus' body was laid. The women never suspect that they are going to arrive too late. They've evidently forgotten that another woman had already anointed Jesus' body. Pastor Steve reminded us last Sunday that a couple of days before Passover, Jesus was at Simon the leper's home in Bethany, and a woman anointed him with very expensive perfume. And Jesus tells those who are present that her gracious act was in preparation for his burial. And now on the way to Jesus' tomb, these women also worry for nothing about a stone that was too large for them to roll away. When they arrive, the stone is gone. It's rolled from the entrance. And when they see the young man in the tomb, dressed in a white robe, they are also alarmed. But he says, "Don't be afraid." Well, as readers, we're actually quite well prepared for the final reaction of the women. They're wrong about the anointing. They're wrong to worry about the stone. And they're wrong to react in fear to the young man who's sitting in the tomb to share the good news. So we shouldn't be surprised at their disobedient silence. The young man, likely an angelic messenger, though Mark doesn't tell us it's an angel, announces to the women that Jesus is risen. His body is no longer in the tomb, and the women are invited to come in and to inspect. And they're then told to report to the disciples, even to Peter, that Jesus is waiting for them in Galilee. And to our surprise, the women run away in fear and remain silent. If we've read Mark's gospel carefully to this point, and I would encourage you to take some time this week, just sit down and read Mark's gospel from beginning to end to get the flow of the story. If you've read his gospel carefully, we know that Mark does not tell us everything that he knew about the resurrection and the Great Commission. In chapter 14 and verse 28, Jesus has predicted Peter's denial, but then he adds, "After I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. There will be a resurrection, and there will be a meeting of the disciples with Jesus." In chapter 13, Jesus is teaching about the signs of the end of the age, and he clearly there also informs his disciples that they will be witnesses to his life, death, and resurrection. He says the gospel must first be preached to all nations. It's an ongoing story. On three different occasions, Jesus taught his disciples about his death and resurrection in the Gospel of Mark. And Jesus is also pointed to his ascension and to his regal status. He is the cornerstone, the one who will be seated at the right hand of God as Father. And Mark has referred to all of these events early in his gospel rather than reporting them at the end. We also know that Jesus' followers did meet Jesus in Galilee. It was in the upper room that Jesus had told his disciples that a meeting with him in Galilee was a prerequisite to their future faithfulness. And that faithfulness is assumed in texts like chapter 13 in Mark, where Jesus instructs his disciples about the gospel being preached to all nations. So as a result of Jesus' instruction in the upper room, the disciples know that they are to meet Jesus in Galilee following the resurrection, whether or not the women tell them to do so. So when it comes to verse 7 in our text, which is the instruction of the young man to the woman, Tim Gettert, in his commentary on Mark, argues that it can be translated as either a direct or an indirect quote. We read it in the NIV, and it's a direct quote. "Go, tell his disciples and Peter, quote, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." But the New Revised Standard Version translates it as an indirect quote. There we're told, "Go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Well, the difference will only come to light if we ask who the you refers to. As a direct quote in the NIV, it refers to the male disciples. But in the indirect quote in the NRSV, the you includes the women. They are to join the male disciples and tell them, Jesus is going ahead of us to Galilee. The NIV instructs the women to be a communication link to the male disciples, telling them what they already know. The NRSV invites the women to join the disciples as they together travel back to Galilee, meet Jesus, and start over once again. Throughout Mark's gospel, we see the faithfulness of Jesus and the struggle of the disciples to fully understand his identity and mission. The male disciples followed and served Jesus in Galilee and in the journey to Jerusalem. There, however, in Jesus' darkest hour, they failed him. They abandoned him as Jesus was taken away to be tried and crucified. But before their failure, they were offered a path to renewal. On the other side of the cross and the resurrection, they can go back to Galilee. They can meet Jesus in Galilee and start over. That is, after all, where it all began. Mark, in the opening verses of his gospel, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee. Mark only introduces the story of the women disciples after Jesus dies. The male disciples have fled. The women were the ones who had watched from a distance. And it was in Galilee, Mark tells us, that these women followed Jesus and cared for his needs, back in chapter 15, verses 40 and 41. It was women who saw the tomb where Jesus was laid. They witnessed his resurrection. But it is the women who also fail, like the male disciples. They fail to carry the message of resurrection. But interestingly, not until they also have been offered the opportunity to meet Jesus in Galilee. And it is their failure that ends the narrative, Mark's gospel. Or does it? I would suggest to you that in spite of their failure and the disciples' failure, the invitation stands. And the invitation has stood for over 2,000 years. The good news of Easter morning is that the tomb is empty. Go to Galilee. Go back to where it started. Fix your eyes on Jesus. This has been the message that we're pushing and driving home as we're looking at the Sermon on the Mount. Come to Jesus. He is the focus of our faith. He, now on Easter morning, is in the land of the living. He's ready to meet us. He's ready to forgive you. He's ready to forgive me. He's inviting us to bear witness to the miracle of resurrection. When Jesus invited his disciples to join him in his mission, it was for the purpose that they might be with him and that they would proclaim the good news. That is, after all, what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. It is to be his witnesses. The male disciples failed to remain with him, but they were invited back to Galilee to see Jesus, to begin again, to be empowered for mission. The women disciples failed to proclaim the resurrection news, but they are also invited back to Galilee to see Jesus. And so Mark's gospel, in a sense, helps us to recognize that our own failures as disciples of Jesus, and we fail in different and many ways, our failure is not the end. We're invited to start over, to go back to Galilee, to see Jesus, to experience in him once again the power of resurrection life, to know that the story, the message, the good news of Easter Sunday morning is for us. In essence, every Sunday becomes a celebration of resurrection, a chance to go back to the beginning, to remind ourselves of why it is that we fix our eyes on Jesus and follow him. Mark's stark ending, the women fleeing in terror and remaining silent, leaves us wondering what the women actually did. Mark's actually intending for you and for me to write ourselves into the story. What will you do? What will I do with the good news of resurrection? Will we return to Galilee and see Jesus? Perhaps you read the final verse and close the book and think, how could the women be silent? How could they refrain from telling the wonderful good news of the resurrection? And I would suggest to you that Mark's gospel is asking me and you that very same question. Easter is such good news. How can we remain silent? So I trust this morning that Mark's gospel will convict you of the need to continually meet the resurrected Jesus in Galilee. And the good news is that everyone is invited. The men, the women, and even Peter. They're all mentioned to help us realize that even those who have failed most seriously are invited to meet Jesus in Galilee. This Easter Sunday, the blessing has been to hear the testimonies of Caden and Mackenzie and Dylan and Carter and Cam and Liam. They have met Jesus in Galilee. They bore witness to that this morning. They've borne witness to the fact that they have chosen to fix their eyes on Jesus. Faithful discipleship demands it, and it depends on it. They are continuing the story of Mark's gospel. Mark's gospel is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And by God's grace, the story is still being written through the lives of these newly baptized believers. Through you and through me. Through all of the faithful followers of the resurrected Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a story. He is risen. Amen. And so as the gospel story concludes with this invitation to come to Jesus, as the worship team comes and leads us in a final song, we once again want to simply extend that invitation to you. There'll be a prayer team here at the front. There's perhaps something in your life that you want to have special prayer with this morning, a request that you would want to share. Perhaps you need to commit yourself again to meeting with Jesus in Galilee. Come, the prayer team is here as the team leads us in worship as we conclude our time together this morning.